Welcome back to Silver Lake TV. I'm John Papa, Silver Lake Evangelist at Microsoft, and today I've got a return guest, Dipesh Manani.
Thanks for having me, John.
Thanks for coming back. And what's your role here?
So I'm a program manager on the WebSphere for ES Services team. We actually just released a V1 about a couple of months back. So basically, I'm a ES Services PM, and we're trying to figure out what to do next and everything. And right now, basically, what I'm trying to do is basically show some of the biggest how-to questions people have been asking about.
Because you and I had a couple conversations about resources, is a big topic.
Right.
And what do we want to show people? And I think you want to brought up the issue of we've got these great forums
right.
where people put in questions in there. Why not answer some of the top questions or the most asked questions right here on the show?
Exactly. So I'm hoping to basically make this, if this picks on, we can probably do more episodes on this. But today I'm looking to cover actually four or five topics that have been continuously asked on the forums. Like, you know, most of the samples are all EF-related samples.
So people framework, yeah.
People are like, I have existing business logic, I have existing CLR types that I want to use as a domain service.
Can we talk a lot about how you can use POCO, but...
You don't show it. So this, I'm going to show one of those examples. I'm going to show you how to do authentication and authorization stuff, related stuff. I'm going to show you how to do Windows authentication, because we've shown almost of our samples are all forms-based authentication.
Right.
So I'm going to do Windows-based authentication. The other question that people keep asking is, like, I don't have this property on my client, on my database, but I want my client to show it. How to do it. So I'm going to show you what we call as client-side computed properties.
And it's not even on your model
it's not in my
framework or POCO either.
Nothing. It's just a property that gets created on the client.
Like maybe it's like extended price, for example.
Exactly. Or discounted price, in this case, I'll be using. So okay. I'm going to show you how to do that today.
So we're going to show POCO. We're going to show authentication and how you can work with it, authorization. We're going to show Windows authentication.
Exactly.
And we're going to talk about client-side views.
Exactly. Really. So first I'm going to start off by showing you my car POCO class. What I've done is I recently bought a car, so I figured I'll show an app that shows a bunch of cars that I looked at and maybe considered, and maybe that was my wish list, so I'm just going to use that. So I have this car class, which I've created. It's just a CLR type. So POCO means plain old CLR objects. Some folks keep asking me what POCO is, so I'll just... It's just a plain old CLR type that I can create.
And it's plain because there's no, notice on the public class car, there's no interface, there's no base class.
Nothing, exactly. So what I've done here is I've actually just tacked on a bunch of properties, like car grid, make, model, year, color, just the basic characteristics when you look at it.
Sure.
I have an enum type here, which is basically transmission type. It says automatic or manual.
Very basic class.
Very basic class. And as you can see, just a bunch of stuff. So first thing you probably notice is that I've actually put on validation attributes, metadata attributes on it. So I don't have to have a metadata class. I can just go directly to my CLR type and just tack them on.
And if you really wanted to say true POCO to some people, you could remove those metadata attributes here and make them in another class.
Exactly.
Some other way.
Exactly. So one of the things that RIA Services really needs is to generate the client side is to have a unique identifier that I can do identity management on. So what I've done is I've actually marked this car grid as a key field. That basically tells RIA Services that this is the unique guy and basically use them this particular field for your identity management. So this is my simple CLR type. Now let's look at my domain service. So first of all, you'll see if you've looked at the wizard, when you bring up a wizard, you have the it looks at your models, which expose in your project. In my case, I won't have any. And what it does is it sees which models. It's a drop down there. So I want to create an EF model type domain service or I want to create an empty domain service. So what it did was I actually created an empty domain service and hit OK on it, and it generates a basic stub for me.
And when you say it looks for your models, you do have models, but they're POCO.
POCO. So it,
so
won't,
it doesn't find those.
It doesn't find those because it doesn't know about those. So I can show you the wizard real quick, what it will look like in my case. And if I go here and I say, add new item.
Yeah, we're just showing you have models, but when we create a domain service here, we'll see what it finds.
Domain. And when I bring this guy up, you'll see it be pretty much an empty list here.
Right. It but has no idea.
Yeah, but as you can see, it says empty domain service class. So I've actually gone ahead and created one. So this is, let's just go through that. So the first thing I said for my POCO type to be my client, I need to have a key attribute. The second thing to actually happen to, to make it code-generate onto the client, I need to have a get method, which returns an iQueryable or an iNumerable of that type. So that's my this guy right here.
Right, because it's not going to generate on the client side unless it knows
what
you're trying to return it.
Right. And then I have a bunch of insert update methods. So what I'm going to do here is actually show you the constructor that I created for this guy. And what I'm doing here is I'm actually just showing an example where I'm loading my cars from some domain, some data source. It could be a static list in my case, which is not the best way to do it, but I'm just, for demo purposes, I'm showing that.
You could go anywhere to get the data.
You can go anywhere to get data from. It could be a web service. So what I've done here is actually, in my particular example, I have a static list, and I'm taking fields from it, hitting Bing service, getting data from Bing, like in my case, I'm using photo, getting the photo image, and getting a link for it from the Bing service. So as you can see, I'm doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of illustrates that I have multiple sources for my data. How am I just creating a type on my domain service, publishing the data, populating it with data, and actually sending it to the client.
Right. So you're just gathering data at this point inside your domain service, and you're going to populate your model.
Exactly. So I'm just populating my model here, and this is some supporting code I have here. So let's actually run the application and see what it looks like. So one of the things I'm doing here is actually one of the feedbacks. I'm using the Cosmopolitan theme, but I've actually modified it a little bit because people ask that I want to look like the Zoom client, so I'm just using that about it.
Okay, so you took the theme that's one of the new themes that
right.
is now out.
And actually I have a blog post of how to convert the Cosmopolitan theme to this one. So as you can see, I have my make model. This is all coming from my static list.
Your static list is the text data, basically.
Text data. And the image is coming from Bing. The link is a Bing link, which Bing provides. So I have multiple, as you can see, it's pulling images as it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's as easy as just writing a domain service, creating a POCO type, which has a key attribute, having a get method, which requires an iQueryable, and return that. One of the things which I forgot to mention is that when you look at the domain service class that it creates for you, in this case, it's just deriving from the base domain service.
Right.
If you're doing entity framework, it'll say link to entity's domain service. If you're doing link to SQL, it'll say link to SQL domain service.
So which is just another base class you can use.
Exactly. Which has a little bit more custom logic depending on the representing the DAL type.
So the question we basically answered here from the forums is, how do I use my POCO model and actually return that?
Right.
Where my data could come from anywhere.
Yeah, existing business logic, this is where you can fit in.
So you might have an application which already has 300
right.
models.
Exactly.
And you want to use RIA services, you don't have to go re-architect it for EF.
Exactly. You can just use that. Just make sure you have a field that's uniquely identified. It could be multiple fields. You just that identify your unique identifier. Like
right.
you could have, in the case of a purchase order, details, you can have purchase order and employee or customer ID. There are composite keys. You can use that so you can stack on multiple.
And if
keys.
You already had the logic for insert, update, delete, and getting, so going to Bing, for example, you could just plug in your method calls.
Exactly.
Right there.
And right here. So as you can see, I could have basically done here is load from domain data source over here instead.
Right.
But I'm not doing that. So that's one of the things. So that's one of the things, POCO. Second thing people have been asking is, I have a domain service out there. I have these bunch of methods. How do I protect it? You know, I don't want access to everybody to get, supposing I have, in this case, I have get cars inventory. Okay, fine. I want everyone to have that. But I don't want anybody to just go and update it. I want someone to.
You only want these particular people to do that.
Right. So I'm going to show you how to do that. I'm actually just going to stick with the get cars inventory, for example, just to show illustration purposes. What I'm going to do is just put a new attribute on top of it, which says requires authentication. So what this does is basically tells the domain service that if someone's calling this method, see if the user is authenticated or not.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not, throw an access denied exception.
Right. It doesn't check who you are. Just checks to make sure we know who you are.
Yeah, we know who you are. And you're authorized with some means. Maybe I could use Live ID, I could use Windows authentication, I could use form-based, whatever.
Right.
So this is doing it at a method level. So you can do it at any method, you can put these attributes. Or what you can also do is put this on the domain service itself. So I could basically put the attribute right here as well.
Which would then be, by default, without it, it means all the methods don't require it.
If you
stick it on the domain service level, they do.
They're all required. They'll just infer it from the class.
Mm-hmm.
So let's run this application, and the first thing I'm going to call this is going to crash the application because I'm not logged in. And when I run this application, RIA services, basically when the load call comes from the client, it goes to the server, it throws an access denied exception.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do in RIA services, we actually, any exception that the server throws for load or submit, we actually throw an unhandled exception, and we want you to handle it.
Okay.
In my case, I've handled it. That's why you see this load error, access to operation, get card inventory was denied. Otherwise, what would happen is you'll see an unhandled exception message box.
Right, which is pretty scary.
And your application will just become
blank. So it's an unhandled exception that gets thrown by RIA services, but you, in this case, have handled it.
Right. I've handled it. I'm just showing it in a message box. I could do more things around it.
Right.
So it's a practice that we want to recommend that you handle the exceptions that come from the server.
And we could get into doing faults as well if you had to.
So the other thing is, okay, fine, now I have protected my service, but I want to be a manager to only insert or update cars. So I belong to this particular role. Mm-hmm. How do I do that? So basically, RIA Services ties in very well with the ASP.NET membership provider or Windows authentication.
Right.
So in this case, if I just want to say update cards to be only be accessed by a manager, I could just do add this attribute requires role. And as you can see, it takes a parameter string, so I can specify multiple roles here.
Sure.
I can just put admin.
And are these case sensitive?
Not sure. I'll have to look it up.
Okay, we'll find out.
I'll find out. So I just need to do this. What happens now is when the user calls this method, RIA will see if it's authenticated, and if he sees if the user belongs to this particular role. In this case, I'm just going to just blank it out. And basically, this is how you can do it. You can configure. I'm not configuring my ASP.NET membership provider,
right?
But you can actually configure it, and you can add roles through it. It's a fairly common practice. It's been around there for quite some time, so there's many documents on that.
And that's a good point. With requires role, you don't also have to put requires authentication, because by default, it has to know.
Right. The other thing I can show people ask is that I want to use SSL, HTTPS binding. Like, you know, I want my data service, domain service to be exposed in an HTTPS binding.
Right.
So what I could do here is actually, we have that support. Not many people know about it, so I'm actually going to show you how easy that is.
So you're going to say, make sure that all communication is using HTTPS.
Exactly. So all I have to do is go to this enable client access attribute. Mm-hmm. This enable client access attribute just tells the code generator we have that this is a domain service type, and I want you to go ahead and generate this particular domain context.
Generates the proxy in the context of the client side.
If you don't have it, it won't generate it. And I can just type in requires secure endpoint equals to true. And by default, now every request will be on HTTPS. So I'm just going to take this out because I don't have my certificates configured.
Right, right.
And so I'm just going to do that. So those are a couple of things for authentication. People have been asking authorization-related stuff.
Okay.
So one of the other questions I've been asked around is, how do I do Windows authentication?
Because all of our examples do forms auth.
Exactly,
usually.
Exactly. And the other thing which people ask is, I have this Active Directory. I want to populate my user data from my Active Directory. Mm-hmm. So how do I do that? So first, let me take a step. I'll show you how to enable Windows authentication. So I'm just going to go to the web config, and I'm just going to comment out this section right here, which is saying this is form-based. This is very similar to ASP.NET.
Right.
And I'm just going to uncomment this guy, saying my authentication mode is Windows. The second thing I'm going to do is actually go into my app.xaml.cs file. So this is, again, using the business application template. Mm-hmm. So you get most of the authentication pieces for you.
Right.
If you use a server navigation, you have to add it on top, but that's probably another episode we could do.
Sure.
How to just take server navigation application and make it.
And tie that into the menus. Yeah.
Exactly. So what I'm going to do here is, as you see, this is what's generated for you in the template. And I'm just going to uncomment this guy.
So this code was generated by the business template inside your app XAML.
Right. And I'm just going to uncomment this guy out so it says I'm using Windows authentication on my client.
Right.
So one thing I'm going to do next is actually, this is how you enable Windows authentication. Now I want my user profile that gets sent from my client server to the client, I want to have some special fields like photo, for example.
Right, so now you've got one that's off, but how do you get access to it?
Right, and I want my title to show up there. So what I've first done is I've actually went to this user.cs file, which is again part of your business application template, and I've added these four types there, properties there, which is a thumbnail byte array, it's an email, telephone number, and title.
Right, so those classes, they're generated, but they don't get regenerated. So you can add your own properties into here.
Yeah, you can write your own properties. So this is something that you can customize. You can put more properties, anything you want in here.
Right.
So next thing I'm going to do is, now I've added these properties, but how do I populate data into them from my Active Directory? Mm-hmm. So one more thing that the business application template generates for you is authentication service.cs, which is a domain service. And it has this authentication base. And it has a bunch of virtual methods. So what I've done is I actually overrided one of the virtual methods over here. I'll just uncomment this out because I needed this for Windows authentication, but not for forms-based.
So it generates this class, but it doesn't generate this method for you.
No.
You had to code this.
Yeah, I had to code this. Basically, if you go into override, you'll see a bunch of methods that you can override and you can do stuff. So one thing that happens when a user gets authenticated, a call is made to the authentication service saying, get me the authenticated user and get me all its characteristics and properties. And what I've done here is I've actually just used the System Directory Services API that is available in C#.
Right.
And I'm just using Directory Searcher and creating a new Directory Searcher, putting a filter where, you know, filter by my username.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm just getting fields and converting it and popping into my user object.
So you have to know a little bit of AD to figure out what the names of the things you're looking
exactly.
for is.
There's many AD explorers out there. You can just download it and right. figure out what property you're looking for and what it's called.
And the user object you're populating is that model that got created automatically, although you added the extra properties.
Extra properties.
Email and such.
Yeah, the user property was created, model was created by the business application template. Mm-hmm. So you have to have created that one there. And let's just run this application. Let's see what happens.
And then your UI, I assume, is going to look at this object and display
right.
the name.
So my UI has some, in this application, I already configured my UI to bind to the user object.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one more thing I can, I'll probably show you how it's done, but people have been asking about it. So first of all, you say authenticating, and then it shows my name that's coming from the AD. It shows you my title. It shows you my email address and the picture that's associated with my Active Directory.
Right.
So you can basically flow data back and forth.
So all you did to get there was you changed the web config to use when it's off. You changed the app XAML
exactly.
to use when it's off. And then you went to the user object, added some more properties, because
right.
it would be pretty boring with just your name.
Exactly. And basically, I did that to enable Windows authentication. I just had to make those two changes in the web config and app.xaml.
Yeah.
But I wanted to add more zinc to this application, so I went and got some data from Active Directory. So
yeah, integrating with Active Directory is something that we see a lot.
Right.
But we see the request for a lot, but it's not always as easy as it should be.
Exactly. So this is how it's getting the information. So
okay.
I've created a UI which basically binds to the user object. So we have this web context that you can bind towards. It's a static resource, so just do webcontext.current.user,
mm-hmm.
and you can bind to any of the properties, and that user is basically this guy written over here.
Okay.
So one more thing which, so we covered Windows authentication. I showed you the POCO model. I showed you how to do authentication authorization.
Yep.
One of the things I've seen on the forums is that, you know what, I have this property that I want to display on my client, but it doesn't exist in my model.
Right.
Right? So how do I show it? And that property is not, it's just a read-only property in most cases. It's probably like
calculated field.
Calculated field. For example, the most common one that I use is, I have first name and last name stored separately, but I want to display as one
full name.
Full name, right? So how do I do that? So you can do it in multiple, you can do it on your server, but that just means I'm exposing this extra property, or you can do it on the client. What I'm going to do today is just show you the client piece of it, how you can do it on the client. So first of all, I'm going to jump into...
And that's a good point, too, because that's more of a business decision, whether you do it on the server or the client.
Right.
If you do it on the server, that means anybody who uses those server components are going to have access
just
to
it. Yeah, and if I'm doing it on the client, I can
maybe it's just for this particular UI.
Exactly.
You don't want to do it in the model.
Exactly. So one thing I'm going to first do is just go to the proxy we create, and I'm going to call out the fact that if you look at the car object that I have that gets generated from me, it's a public sealed partial class. Partial being the keyword.
Mm-hmm.
Basically means that I can create another partial class, declare it, and just use.
You don't want to edit this particular class because it's generated.
But you just want to add on stuff on top of it.
Right.
So what I've done is I've actually created a partial class, which is public partial, and I've added this property called discounted price.
This is all client-side.
This is all client-side. So all I've done here is I'm saying whenever this has been raised, call bind, when a getter has been called, call this guy. And what I've done here is I have this property on my model which says days on lot. And you know, if a car has been in my lot for 30 days, I
sure.
want to give a discount.
We're making up some discounted price.
Yeah, some discounted price. So I have just some logic here. So basically, this is all I have to do. And when I run the application, you will see.
And what you're doing is just binding through regular data binding to that discounted price property.
Discounted price property.
And it's okay, you don't have a setter.
Exactly. And as I said, it's just a read-only case, right? So I have the discount price here, and once this loads up, you can see there's a difference in the price.
Based upon some calculation.
Right. Exactly. But what happens now when I'm an admin or I'm a manager and I update the price, I want my UI to reflect it.
Mm-hmm.
So I want, what you saw example right now was just a one-time thing. Nothing is whenever it's been getter has been called. But I need to refresh.
Right, somebody changes the price or the day is on lot.
I need to raise those property notifications. So
right.
How do I do that?
And there's no setter on the discounted price. So
there's no setter on the discounted price, but it's bound to, I know it's bound to this, it's related, dependent on this price field.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is basically, what we also generate for you is a bunch of partial methods, like on property change, on price change. So you can basically just go partial. And you can see there's a bunch of them on car grid would change and on car grid changing.
Right, changed and changing.
So for each property that the model has, we have those.
Mm-hmm.
We have an on created method. So basically, whenever that guy has been created, from a after the constructor has been called, we call this guy for you. So we have these places in the code, if you see, that you know we call these properties. So if you can see the generated code here, It calls this account created. And I'm setting the GUID. You can see it's calling, call this guy.
Yeah, that's why the generator code looks a little bit messy, because it's calling a bunch of events,
right.
So you can wire and hook directly
right.
into the model.
And the fact that it's a partial method, it doesn't get compiled if you don't declare it. So
right.
It's basically, when the ILU look at it, won't have these references if it's not been implemented.
Right.
So as you can see, it has these properties. And I can just run the application and change it and hope, sorry.
I don't think we actually put the method.
Oh, we didn't put the method?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. So I have this, I've already done these methods here. So I'm just going to uncomment.
So basically, you're just the two fields that you actually look at, days on lot and price.
Yeah, what I'm doing is I'm just raising a property change notification on this guy.
Yep. So whenever anything used in the calculation changes.
Yeah, right. And basically, when we run this application, you'll see a data grid. You change the field, the discounted price should change. And that's how you can customize your computer properties and stuff.
Pretty simple to do.
Yeah, it's very simple. As I said, these are the most more common related stuff that people have been asking about. Let's see what happens here.
So discounted price should change.
And it changed to 6795. So
great.
It's very easy to wire up computer client-side computer properties, what we call them. And these are the four things which were easy to do in an episode. Like, they were small enough.
Mm-hmm.
We could do this. But there are more items, and one thing which I want the forums feedback from customers is tell us what do you want to hear, and we can respond to them in forums. Our forums are a good means.
And for people who aren't familiar with the forums, we'll put the link up to where those are.
Exactly.
But your team monitors those.
Monitors forums. Actually, Kyle spends a lot of time. So I got this list from Kyle. He actually has a list of 10 other items that we want to cover, and hopefully we'll have some opportunities to cover those.
Yeah, so if you have anything that you want to get answered by the resources team, definitely make sure you put them in the forums.
Right.
These guys will monitor them, and you can also put them in the comments to this show.
And also let us know which episode you want. If you want something to be covered in a particular episode or a Civil Light TV episode, we could actually do that, and that's not a problem for us. So
basically, if you like getting your questions answered, let us know.
Exactly.
Cool.
All right.
Hey, thanks for coming on board.
Thanks, John.
Appreciate
thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for watching.
All right.
Thank you.